We're going to be in Luke chapter 7. If you want to get your copy of God's Word and turn to Luke chapter 7, we're working through faith in the 21st century. As I continue to study the scriptures, I continue to be challenged by Jesus that he loved people. People are important. And so many times for me, I won't say for you, I get so busy that I forget to keep the main thing the main thing. And people are so important in the life of Christ. As we looked at Zacchaeus, remember what we learned about Zacchaeus? He was a wee little man, okay? And he climbed up in the sycamore tree because he wanted to see Jesus. And Jesus was surrounded by a crowd. He didn't miss the person amongst the crowd. Second person we looked at was Matthew, a tax collector, that left a very prosperous business to be able to hear the gospel and to see Christ in action. Last week we looked at the life of Salome. She brought her two boys, James and John, to try to get the greatest spots with Jesus. And yet she walked away learning a lesson. To be in leadership, it means to serve. And so as we have these interactions with Jesus and as we study the scriptures, we see two things. First of all, people are important. People matter because they're created in the image of God. And Jesus never lost focus of the people during the ministry. The second challenge we have as we go through this study is people grew in their faith with Jesus. As they had interaction, they continued to grow in their knowledge and their love, and their lives were changed because Jesus took time to be with them. This morning is not going to be any different as we go to Luke chapter 7, verses 36 through 50. So we've got a lot of verses to cover, but we want to come in with this idea. People matter. How did Jesus show that people matter? How were their lives changed? As we look at these two people, we're going to focus on the woman who has a life that is very public. Her sin is very public. It's very well known. She has a reputation for all of the wrong reasons to be a public person that has sin. We're also going to be introduced to a Pharisee. He also has sin, but his sin is, quote, private. It's not the big ones that we all think of, but he's got a prideful self. He's got an arrogance about him. And so we're going to look at the woman first, and then we're going to look at Simon the Pharisee as we get to Luke chapter 7. All right, so here we go. Now, one of the Pharisees, we know his name was Simon. We know that from verse 40. Now, this is not Simon Peter, the disciple or the apostle. There are other men named Simon, just as there are other men named Tom or Chad or Dwayne or other ladies named Michelle or Carrie. So there's other people that are named Simon. Don't mistake Simon for Simon Peter, all right? So there was a Pharisee, his name was Simon, and he was requesting Jesus to come dine with him. Jesus, please come to my house. Please note, this guy, the Simon the Pharisee, came after Jesus. Jesus just didn't pop over for an unexpected visit. Leave that sit there. I'll come get that in 15, 20 minutes, okay? So the Pharisee, whose name was Simon, came to Jesus and said, please come to eat with me. Come to my house for supper. Why would he do that? Because you know that the Pharisees, they hated Jesus. So why did the Simon the Pharisee ask to have fellowship time with Jesus? Because he was looking to cause Jesus to stumble. He had an ulterior motive that he didn't really care about what Jesus had to say. He only wanted time with Jesus to try to trip him up. Because they did not like Jesus, because Jesus took all the popularity from the Pharisees, and he preached a gospel that rubbed against them. So the Pharisees are looking for a way to trip Jesus up. And Jesus, this is the challenge for me, he knew that, and yet he still went and spent time with Simon the Pharisee. Why? Because people are important. He went and paused his day to go sit in a room with someone that wanted him to fail. Jesus didn't just blow Simon off and say, whatever, get lost. He went and spent time with Simon to dine with him. And as Jesus entered the Pharisee's house, he reclined at the table. Friends, he didn't sit in Simon's lazy boy and push the button to extend his foot up like we have with our lazy boys. He sat at a table, and if he was right-handed, he would lean on his left. There was a bench, and then he would have his feet put out behind him. So he'd lean on his left elbow, he would have his sitting on the bench, and then have his feet behind him. That's how he would eat. He would want his feet away from him because his feet were unclean. Feet were one of the dirtiest, grossest part of the human body in the first century. Some of you would say that hasn't changed in the 21st century, okay? But they would sit at the table. This is the closest picture that I have, that he would sit at the table, leaning on the table with his feet out there to eat the food. Now, there's this lady that broke in, a woman in the city who was a sinner. This is the New American Standard way of saying she was a lady of the night. She sold herself to make money to men. This is what she did. Everyone knew it. Anyone who's anyone would know this lady, that she had a certain reputation. She didn't try to hide this reputation. She did not try to hide this sin, but she was known, and people knew her, and they called her the sinner. And how often do we have that mentality in our own selves? Well, at least I'm not as bad as that person. That person, they're a sinner. I'm just a sinner. And we see here that there is a woman that breaks onto the scene. She learned that he was reclining or sitting at the table in the Pharisee's house, Simon's house. And she came and she brought an alabaster vial of perfume. Back in the first century, they would not take baths or showers every day as you and I do. They would take a bath, or probably more baths than showers, once a week. And then they would use perfume or oil to cover the scent or the smell that they would have throughout the week of working. Now, this lady with her profession that has put her into sin, she only bathes once a week, but she needs to smell very beautiful for her profession. So she takes this perfume and she brings it, this perfume that she would have used to allure or to entice men to come and pay her a visit. How do you think that she earned the money to buy the perfume? By what she did. And out of her brokenness, in her broken state, she comes and she brings this vial of perfume to Jesus. Now, commentators are split on where that Jesus would have been. Some commentators, 50% or so, say he was actually literally in the house. Some commentators say if you would continue to bring the wall that's the black, some say that he would have been outside, sitting in an outside courtyard where the red arrow is. Really, don't misunderstand. It doesn't matter. Jesus is within the property of Simon the Pharisee. Some commentators say because Simon wants to be the who's who in the city, he would have had it outside where people could see and hear him interacting with Jesus, so that many people could see and hear when Jesus says something wrong. So he's in the house, whether it's literally in the house or in the outer courtyard, he is with Simon. And this woman breaks in, this sinful woman who is breaking the commands of God, breaks into Jesus. And this is what she does. She stands behind Jesus. Remember, let's look at the picture. His feet are extended behind him. Again, not like we sit at our 21st century American table with our feet underneath us. They're behind him. So she comes in and she finds his feet and she begins weeping. And when she weeps, she begins to wet his feet with her tears. How hard do you have to be crying in order to produce enough tears to be able to wash someone's feet? How hard do you have to be crying? I will tell you, I am an ugly crier. You ever meet those people that are like ugly crying? They cry. Hallmark just does that to me. But you meet those people. You know, you kind of sort of, you just wipe that tear away. But this woman, she is so broken. And I would submit she is so rejoicing over what Jesus has done that she comes weeping. And you can't, I have yet to meet someone that can produce that many tears with also producing some kind of, quote, noise to go with it. Now, she's not coming in trying to make a scene. She's coming in with her brokenness, and she comes to the feet of Jesus. And her first response is to come weeping. And she's weeping and crying so hard that her tears are running down her cheeks and they're falling on the feet of Jesus. And they're enough that she can wash the very feet of Jesus. Pop quiz. What does the woman say? Nothing. You read through the rest of the story, she doesn't say anything. Out of her gratitude, out of her brokenness, she can only weep. The more I study, the more I am challenged with, when I get to heaven, I'm going to say this to Jesus. I don't think I'm going to be able to say anything to Jesus. But I'm going to be just like the woman, falling on my face and just weeping before the Lord. And she weeps out of gratitude. She's crying happy tears. She doesn't stop there. Look at what scripture says. She begins to wet his feet with her tears, and then she took her hair down, which in the first century would have been scandalous. To take your hair down in public as a woman, and then she wipes Jesus' feet with her hair. Ladies, I'm ready to have my feet washed. Who's ready to use their hair? Seeing not even my wife move, we're going to keep going. Okay. Sorry, honey. Out of her brokenness and out of her gratitude, she takes her hair down. Now, we sit here in the 21st century and go, that's really disgusting. But if that would happen, hear me, if that would happen, the first thing you would do is go home, you would hit the Head and Shoulders, the Pantene Pro-V, and you'd put conditioner in your hair, right, ladies? Okay, that's what happens in my house. But this woman's in the first century. She only takes a bath once a week. And she uses her hair, one of her most prized possessions, with this perfume that she uses to allure men. And she takes that hair down and she starts to wipe the feet of Jesus. With the tears that she has shed over what Jesus has done for her. And she's crashed, air quote, crashed this party because of what Jesus has done for her. But she doesn't stop there. She wipes his feet with her hair after she has washed his feet with her tears, and then she begins to kiss his feet. Friends, with much respect, that is just gross. The first century, let me jump ahead a couple of verses. He has never had his feet washed when he came into the house. And yet here comes this woman. She's washed his feet with her own tears, wiped them with her hair, and now she's kissing his feet. Friends, we don't do that today. But out of gratitude and out of worship, she is sitting at the feet of Jesus, and she has kissed his feet. Feet in the first century were gross. They don't have the pedicures that we have. They don't have the nice shoes that we have. They were wearing and tearing out their feet. And if you will, the grossest part of the human body, this woman is kissing. Not out of sensuality, not to try to seduce Jesus. Don't listen to what today's society says. It's out of worship. And then what does she do? She takes and she anoints his feet with the very perfume, What a beautiful picture of what worship is. The perfume she used to use for her profession that cost her dearly the money, she is now taking and anointing the feet of Jesus. Friends, if I'm going to use cologne today, I'm not going to spray cologne on my feet. I'm going to spray it around my head where you can begin to smell the wonder of it. And here comes this woman, and she is here in the presence of Jesus, crying, wiping, kissing, and anointing his feet. This brings me to my first challenge that I had this week as I studied, and it was, am I willing to worship Jesus, even if it cost me publicly? She breaks into this dinner that she's not invited to with a reputation or a label of a woman of the night, a sinner. And she doesn't care. She has one person she needs to meet, and it's Jesus. Scripture doesn't tell us she thought about not going. Oh, my people might think poorly of me. She has no idea no one else is there. She's got one focus, and it's the Lord. I just wonder, when you come to worship, are you willing to worship the Lord and do it publicly and not, if you will, care what the person beside you, in front of you, or behind you says? Because so many times, I won't say in your life, but in my life, I wonder and I worry, what will this person think? But I'm here to worship an audience of one, and it's Jesus. How about you? The second person is Simon, Simon the Pharisee. He also has sin. He also has the private sin. The woman, she has a reputation, the public reputation. But Simon also has sin. You see, because when you gather here, whether you have public sin or private sin, you know what you have? Sin. In the church, it's not a haven for the heavenly. It's a hospital for the hurting. It's a hospital for the broken. And even your perfect pastor is broken. So don't walk in here thinking, oh, someone else has it all together. No, they're broken. Just like you and just like me. Because the ground is level at the foot of the cross. So he's going to have an interaction with Simon the Pharisee. Now, when the Pharisee, who is Simon, he's going to finally be named in the next verse, who had invited Jesus, saw this. I can't believe such scandalous things have happened in my house. He said to himself, Simon didn't say anything out loud. This whole conversation happened in his head. He said this in his head, if this man were a prophet, which tells me he knows and hears about what Jesus has done. Let this part of scripture break your heart. Simon, he knows Jesus. He knows what he says. He knows and hears. I would even say he understands what Jesus is doing, but yet he can't apply it to his heart. He says all the right things, and yet he can't apply it. If this man, Jesus, were a prophet, which he is, he's a son of God, would know who and what sort of person this woman is who's touching him, that she is a sinner. You got to say it with that accent. She's a sinner. What's Simon's problem? He's sitting in judgment. And if I point my finger at you and say, look at all that's going on in your life, you know what happens in mine? I've got these three fingers pointing back at me. And sometimes what happens is we become so confident in our own walk. We become so prideful that we forget to look at ourselves first. And Simon is upset that this woman has come to worship Jesus when Simon invited Jesus to try to trip him up. And he has this whole conversation in his mind without saying a single word. And Jesus answered him. Well, that's the omniscience and the sovereignty of Jesus. He knows it all. So how can you put a prayer request in and not put your name? Because Jesus knows it all. I don't know what's going on in your life, but I know Jesus knows. So Jesus answered him, Simon, finally we have his name. I have something to say to you. And he replied to him, say it, teacher. He knows Jesus is a teacher. He knows Jesus is a prophet. Yet he can't apply that truth to his life. So Jesus looks at him and confronts him. Jesus always gets it right. And we learned another lesson here on conflict management. When you have conflict with someone, you can come in the front door, which means you just plow it through, you speak harshly, or you come in the back door and go, hey, I got a story to tell you. Jesus uses a story. Hey, I got a story to tell you. Almost like a fisherman throws out a hook and he's caught him. He doesn't even know he's caught him. A moneylender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii, which is about a year and a half worth of wages. And the other owed 50, about a month or 2 months worth of wages. Let me ask you, would you rather be a month into debt or a year and a half into debt? I'll choose a month any day. So you got two people in debt. One, let's just say $5,000, and the other one is $500,000, just to bring the opposites. When they were unable to repay, the moneylender graciously forgave them both. Your debt's gone. Well, which one's going to love him more? So you see Simon, he answered Jesus, and you could almost see Simon go, this is not going to be good. Jesus is using me as an object lesson. Ah, I was supposed to get him, now he's gotten me. Ah, you could almost see Simon go, well, I suppose the one whom he forgave more, right? Kind of do that thing at the end of a sentence, right? Makes it a question within an answer, or an answer within a question. I suppose, or I assume, because Simon doesn't want to step on something and have Jesus use him, Simon's trying to catch Jesus. I suppose the one whom he forgave more, and Jesus said to him, you've judged correctly. Hey, you're right. Whew, that's good. He didn't get me. Now Jesus, he turned towards the woman. What's the woman doing? She's sitting at his feet, weeping, anointing, cleaning, and worshiping. Now, even after you've cried, you have those. when you really let it go, you just don't stop crying, everything goes back to normal, right? Or am I the only one? I guess I'm the only one. That's okay. Whenever I cry and really let it go, I've got to just take a couple deep breaths and just kind of calm myself down. So here comes this woman sitting at his feet. And Jesus turns to this woman and he says to Simon, you see this woman? People are important. She comes in carrying this baggage. I would have you and encourage you to write Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. Matthew 11, 28 to 30, Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This woman has come in carrying all of these burdens, the heaviness of her lifestyle, the choices and the decisions that she has made. And she has come in to find rest. And Jesus looks at her. He does not chastise her. He does not speak to her in condemnation. He looks to her in love and says, do you see this woman, Simon? The one sitting right here at my feet. I entered your house and you gave me no water for my feet. Come back to that thing I said about 15, 20 minutes ago. When Simon invited Jesus, he didn't care about having Jesus and showing hospitality. He just wanted to get Jesus. And we know that now from these verses because this is basic first century hospitality. You invite someone to come to your house and you don't even invite them in. You invite me over to your house and you make me stand on the front porch. That's not what we do. You invite people in. You invite me to have a seat. Hey, come on in, have a seat. Beautiful day like today. Hey, why don't you come on in and we'll sit in the back porch. He never did that for Jesus. You never gave me water for my feet. The feet that he walked on the road, the dust, the dirt, the grime, the waste that would have been in the field. And Jesus is sitting at the table with all of that stuff on his feet. And Simon didn't even give him a bowl of water to wash his own feet. But she has wet my feet with her tears. You couldn't wash my feet, but she's washed my feet. You never gave me a towel to wash my feet and dry my feet with the water that you never gave me, but she has wiped them with her hair. There's a certain thing I just will never understand about the beauty and wonder of a woman's hair. But ladies, you were not willing to do that. But that lady was willing. And he's looking at Simon and he's zeroed in on him. He's turned the table with Simon. He even took it a step further. He said, "You gave me no kiss." I'm sorry I have to do this. We live in 2022. Don't read homosexuality into this. This is no different than me reaching out my hand saying, "Good morning, how you doing? Nice to see you today." You go overseas, maybe definitely before COVID, maybe after COVID, you get some European countries and Mideastern countries, they're greeting you with a kiss. There's nothing sensual about it. It's just the way you greet one another. Don't allow society to read 2022 into scripture. It's how you greet them. I came in, you didn't even greet me. But she hasn't looked to kiss his head. She's kissing his feet. And she won't stop. "You did not anoint my head with oil." Remember, they only bathe once a week in the first century. You bring the oil out and you anoint them in case they have an odor. Then they smell the beauty of the oil. It helps to restore them from walking. It helps to fill the room with that beautiful fragrance. Simon invited him. "You never gave me anything to refresh me from my walk, and yet she's used the perfume to anoint my feet. Simon, you don't care about me. You're just looking to get me, but yet this lady's worshiping me." He says, "For this reason, I say to you, her sins, which are many." Highlight that, underline that. Jesus doesn't say, "Oh, I don't see any sins. I don't know what's going on." He acknowledges the brokenness that she brings. But yet he doesn't focus on the brokenness. He acknowledges the wrong and he moves on. "The sins, which she has many," which tells me she's the one that's a year and a half into debt. "Her sins are many, have been forgiven." Every commentator I read has said this goes back to Matthew 11, 28 through 30. She heard the gospel and her life was changed by the ministry and the teaching and the preaching of the gospel. And she couldn't get to Jesus. This is the first chance that she could get to Jesus and say, "Thank you for what you did for me, Jesus." And her only response was not words, it was action. And that action was her weeping and washing the feet of Jesus. Why? Because she has been forgiven the debt. A terrific and horrendous debt. She was forgiven. "For she loved much, so she has been able to worship much. But for those who is forgiven little, loves little." So the second question I have for you is, are you aware of the sins that you have? This is not the perfect place. If it is, someone else needs to come up here and close the service. And I don't say it like someone needs to come up here. No, listen, I'm broken just like you're broken. And you're broken just like I'm broken. And we've all broken the standard, which is God's word, which is perfection. And Simon is unaware of his arrogance and looking down on this woman because of what she's done. And to be vulnerable with you, sometimes that happens in my life. At least I'm not as bad as that person. And I'm certainly not as bad as that person. And I find myself being a lot of Simon the Pharisee. But it brings me back to remind myself, you know what? I'm just as broken as you are. And you're just as broken as I am. But aren't you glad we can come and worship the one that puts us back together, that takes and restores us and makes us something beautiful, turns what is broken into something beautiful? Are you sitting here aware of the brokenness and the sin in your life? So Jesus said to her, "Your sins have been forgiven." Why would he say that? Not because of what she has done. Don't misapply that. She is not saved because she washed Jesus' feet. She is saved because her faith in what Jesus has done. It is by grace you have been saved through faith. She put her trust, she put her reliance on the finished work of what Jesus was doing. Do not leave here thinking, I have to do this. It's been done on the cross. Our response for what is done on the cross is worship. And so Jesus has come and said, your sins have been forgiven. And the guys around the table are going, oh my goodness, I can't believe this. How can he say that this man forgives sins? Because he's God's son. And that's what he came to do, to seek and to save those that are lost. And unfortunately, the host of the night is the lost one. And the one that, air quote, stole the show was the one that came to worship. So he turns and he says to the woman, values her when everyone else discards her, looks at her and says, woman, your faith has saved you. Underline that. Not your actions. Not your actions. Your faith. Your faith in what? Your faith in the written word or the teachings of Jesus. Because you have believed what Jesus taught. Your faith has saved you. Now go and leave in peace. A peace that she has not experienced. She came to Jesus carrying a weight. And Jesus says in Matthew chapter 11, 28 through 30, come to me, all you who are weary, and I will give you rest. She left with the very thing she was so desperately seeking, peace with God. So the question I have for you, are you leaving here with peace? Peace, first of all, between a holy God and an unholy person. Second of all, you're leaving here with peace, knowing amidst the storm, God can give you rest. Three challenges this morning from our passage. The first one, are you willing to publicly worship Jesus? Not go crazy. I'm not saying that. But are you willing to worship Jesus because of all that he has done for you? Have you come to the spot that you understand that there is sin that you've done wrong, that you violated God's holy word? And then are you leaving here in peace? If you would say to me, you know what? I don't think I'm leaving here in peace today. The one challenge I have for you, don't rush out. We've got pastors in the back that would love to pray with you, to answer questions you have, to be able to meet the Prince of Peace, so that you can come sit at the table at the foot of the cross. Jesus is waiting there with open arms. Why? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. Do not leave here before you meet Jesus. Let's close our time in a word of prayer. As you close your Bibles and as you get ready to head out, I just want to pray for you. I'm not going to call you out by name. That's not my heart. I just want to pray for you as one of the pastors. Is there anybody here that says, would you pray for me? Slip up your hand and just say, would you pray for me? Because I sometimes get so wrapped up in caring what other people think, I don't take time to worship Jesus. But I want that to change. Would you pray for me? I see that one hand. Anybody else? So anybody here says, would you pray for me because I don't know all that you say about sin, but I understand that I'm broken and I need to talk to you. Is there anybody here this morning? What you're saying is I need to talk to you about Jesus and what he has done. Is there anybody here? If you're online, would you send me a message? Because I don't want to rush through and not give you a chance to meet the Prince of Peace. who came to take away your sin. Is there anybody here that says, would you pray for me for peace? Because there's a lot going on in life and I just don't know, but I know that there is a maker of heaven and earth that can bring me peace. Would you pray for me this morning that I would experience the peace that passes all understanding? I see that one hand. Anybody else? Two hands, three hands. Lord, I'm so thankful for your word. I'm thankful for the challenge that it brings us. I'm thankful for the comfort that it brings us. Lord, as we continue to grow in our relationship with you, we see the value of people. And Lord, help us not to be so busy about everything that we miss the most important thing, which is people. And we're so thankful for the example Jesus gave us. Help us to be challenged by that example. Lord, I pray for those that with the uplifted hand or the uplifted heart have said, I want to worship Jesus. Lord, give us the boldness to worship out of our brokenness and not care what people think about us, but that we would come in and worship you because you are worthy to be praised. And Lord, I'm so thankful for Jesus, who even in our broken state, our sinful state, he still accepts our worship. Lord, if there's someone here, someone online, Lord, give them holy discontent until they come to the table at the foot of the cross and accept what Jesus has done for them. Lord, I pray that you might help us to leave here with peace. Whether it's peace during the storm that we're going through or whether it's peace with you relationally, Lord, we know that that is done through Jesus and what he has done on the cross. Lord, we're so thankful. We pray that you would help us to surrender. Help us to realize, know, believe, and understand to be changed by the fact that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.